All right. Well, today we're going to be finishing up Romans 8 with verses 35 through 39. And we get to talk about the security of God's love today. Please rise out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for each and every person in this room and anyone who stumbles across this message. Lord, we ask that you go before us in our own heart. Spirit, that you would soften our hearts, that you would reveal to us ways that you would have us change, ways that we are aligned with your will. Help us to rejoice in the thought that you love us, Lord. Help us rejoice in that. Help us be drawn to our knees in thanksgiving that by your grace, we get fellowship with you. We get a relationship with you, the God of the universe. By your grace, we get that. And let us be rejoicing in that fact. When we know the God of the universe loves us, we walk around this world a different way. And Lord, I just ask that you compel our hearts to let our lives reflect your love. Lord, I ask that this message gets to our congregation's heart, to each and every heart in this room, and to whoever's listening. And Lord, I ask that nothing that I do or say get in the way of your precious word being received today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In this series of verses, it's as if Christ is grabbing us by the shoulders. He is looking us in the eye. And he's saying, listen to me, my child. No matter what happens, there is nothing that can change the way I feel about you. I have always loved you, and I always will. Too many of us, and too often, we default to skepticism about love because we hear things like that, and we think we've heard that before, and they were from the mouth of a human being that didn't follow through on that those bold words. But rest assured that we are not talking about human promises. We are talking about the promises of God Almighty. Amen. The promises of human beings are imperfect by their very nature. And by God's nature, his promises are perfect and true. Yes, the God of the universe loves you. The same God that knit you together in your mother's womb and carved out every detail about your character. He loves you. The God who left his throne in heaven to become a man and died an atoning death to answer for your sins so that you get to be with him in heaven. You get to walk with him right here and now. That God is the God who grabs you by the shoulders, looks you in the eye, and says, no matter what happens, there is nothing that can change the way I feel about you. I have always loved you, and I always will. Now that is a wonderful truth. And I am excited to get to share it with you guys today. In verse 35, we read, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Let's consider whose love we're talking about. The love of Christ. But if we're really going to consider the love of Christ, we first must consider who Christ is. We know that Jesus Christ, as a man, was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1:20-21. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." But Jesus' existence did not begin in the womb of Mary. We know that Jesus is eternal, meaning he has always existed and he always will. John 1:2, "He was with God in the beginning." Not only was Jesus with God in the beginning, but creation itself is his mighty work. John 1:3, "Through him all things were made." We know that Jesus is God. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 1:14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word referred to in these verses is Jesus. So we can translate this a step further and say, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus is God. On paper, we all believe this is true. We believe that Jesus is God. Our doctrine is correct. We can answer the questions. We can speak the Christian language. But do our lives confirm our theology? Do our lives confirm that we know the truth? That nothing can separate us from the love of Christ? The word "separate" that Paul uses here is the Greek word "kareo," meaning to depart, to divide. "Kareo" emphasizes an internal separation, metaphorically such as matters of the heart. To be separated from the love of Christ would be to have him ripped from your heart, to be void of his love and his goodness. When Jesus tells his disciples that he must go, they panic. Why? Because to them, this means they will be separated from their beloved Savior and their dear friend. But Jesus tells them that he must go, and that it is to their benefit, because he will send them the Holy Spirit to dwell in them, a relationship that cannot end with someone they cannot be separated from, his own Holy Spirit. As we've now determined, that is the Holy Spirit who facilitates this intimacy with Christ and the Father. We should ask, how do we know if that is us? In Galatians 5:22-23, we learn what the evidence of a Spirit-filled life entails. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." If we are wondering what these attributes look like in practice, we need not look any further than Jesus. He models these characteristics for us perfectly in the Gospels. Read the Gospels and you will see how drastically Christ stands out from the world. The fruits of the Spirit make Christians today stand out in a similar way. Galatians 5 indicates that walking in the Spirit, fully accepting Christ's love and knowing that we cannot be separated from it, will spark joy in our hearts. It will prompt the gentle word. It will allow kindness to flow freely from us. When we meditate on this scripture and use words like peace, goodness, and faithfulness, I'm sure someone specific comes to mind in each of you. Someone who embodies these characteristics. Before I was a Christian, I had a number of people in my life over the years that planted seeds in my heart. By being different, they planted them. They were outliers. They stood out for a reason that I could not fully understand, but thanks to the Spirit, I was aware that their source of joy was different than mine. It was not that they were playing by a different set of rules, but somehow they were playing an entirely different game altogether. One of those people was a coworker of mine at my first teaching job. We were a similar age and experience level. I was running around stressed out and feeling burdened, frustrated, and futile in all my efforts. And he seemed to be walking on a cloud. He took the time to look me in the eye and joyfully check on me as if I were the only person in the world he cared about. He didn't know me. I knew that he was different. He never talked to me about God. But he didn't need to. His daily existence testified of the love of God and was a major part of me coming to believe in God. His life confirmed the theology of the gospel before I even knew what the gospel was to confirm it. Another one of these people in my life was my wife, Tori, before we were married. Before I was a Christian, she gently and lovingly shared gospel truths with me. She did a lot of listening, and she left me feeling like I had just been sent some kind of angel to guide me or something, or snatched me up out of my existence. And she left me knowing that God is real. I can't explain it, but God is real after all. The Spirit of God within her was used by God to monumentally change the trajectory of my life. Her character testified about the truth of the love of Christ. Her life confirmed her theology that the love of Christ is all sufficient. I work today with a number of Christians, and to watch these people personify the love of Christ to 11 through 14 year olds at a Hardin middle school is a beautiful thing. They are able to love and care for children that the world discounts as unlovable because of an overall lack of respect or work ethic, which are true. But the Christian knows that Christ loved them in spite of themselves. Christ's love is not shaken by circumstances or the imperfection of the object of his love. Otherwise, we'd all be out of luck. And boy, doesn't it feel good to just be loved and not have to qualify for it. To just be loved. And Christians all around personify that love and make Jesus real to people. And looking in this room and knowing our congregation, I can say with rejoicing in my heart that there are so many of you Christ followers whose lives more than confirm your theology, but rather they scream from the rooftops that nothing will separate you from the love of Christ. You confirm the truth. When the world looks at you, you are an anomaly. You make no sense to them. How is she still standing? Because she knows the love of Christ. Why don't they seem worried? Because they're at home in the fact that Jesus loves them, and that's more than enough. How are they so happy and yet it seems like they have so little? Because their source of happiness is Jesus himself. They know that the material things of this earth pale in comparison to knowing him. And how does she have time to show me, to love me, when her plate is full? It's because her cup truly runs over. It pours over the brim with the love of Christ. These are all ways, evidences of the love of Christ being in you. So back to Romans, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? In the rest of verse 35, Paul emphasizes his rhetorical question with circumstances that clearly will not extract from us the Holy Spirit of Christ's love or Christ's love. But there absolutely will be hurdles in our walk of faith at some time or another. Paul is not making light of our trouble, our hardship, our persecution, our famine, nakedness, danger, the sword, but rather he holds them to the light that is the love of Christ. The hard times come. That's a guarantee. But 2 Corinthians 1:3 says that praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. We can find great comfort in knowing that our God is compassionate and longs to comfort us. The point here in Romans 8:35 is not to discredit our hardship here on earth, but rather it is that amidst suffering, Christ's love will not leave us. Amidst suffering. Another passage that has to do with departure from the love of Jesus is Matthew 7:21-23. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Other translations read, "Go away from me, you lawless rebels. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Depart. Jesus separates himself from the evildoers in the end. The ones who claim to have done so much in his name and for his kingdom, but the Bible tells us that it is not what we do that brings us into eternal fellowship with the Lord Jesus. It is our faith. Romans 1:17 says, "For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, 'The righteous will live by faith.'" We can trust God's word, that our faith in Jesus Christ and the gift of his Holy Spirit will keep us in close relationship with him, never again allowing us to be separated from him. Verse 36 is an excerpt from Psalm 44, and I'll be reading this verse and several others from that chapter. "As it is written, 'For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.'" From the same Psalm, verse 3, "It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them." 5-8, "Through you we push back our enemies Through your name, we trample our foes. I put no trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory, but you give us victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. In God we make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever. 9 through 11. But now you have rejected and humbled us. You no longer go out with our armies. You made us retreat before the enemy, and our adversaries have plundered us. You gave us up to be devoured like sheep and have scattered us among the nations. 17. All this came upon us, though we had not forgotten you. We had not been false to your covenant. 22 through 26. Yet for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Awaken, Lord. Why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? We are brought down to the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. The psalmist recognizes that God has orchestrated all of their victories. And allowed their hardships as well. After quoting Psalm 44, Paul reemphasizes the insignificance of being considered as sheep to be slaughtered by saying in verse 37, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Just as the psalmist finished with, "Rise up and help us, rescue us because of your unfailing love." And Jesus did that. He has rescued us and named us victors, conquerors, sons, daughters of the Most High King, all done as a result of his love. This scripture encourages us to embody a victorious spirit. For not only have we overcome sin through Jesus Christ, but he has conquered the ultimate death for us and named us the victors. We are conquerors in him. We are conquerors, and we have a job to do. Spread the gospel. Live lives that affirm that Jesus is God. And he is alive. We must freely share the love of Christ. We must encourage each other to say yes to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." The war is won. Christ has claimed victory. But the battle for the souls of man is ongoing, and we have a major part to play. We are Christ's church, and we have a part to play. We must live out the victory that is the gospel. Our lives must reflect the truths of the gospel, and our lives must reflect what Paul ends this chapter with in verses 38 through 39. "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor the powers, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The character of these last verses truly encompasses a triumphant and victorious spirit in Christ's love. In every other relationship, there is a potential for separation. There is potential for distance, for love to cease. And all by much smaller means than those mentioned above. Death or life or angels or demons, humanity is at play. And as much as we would like to promise our unfailing love, we fall short. Paul says in Romans 7:18, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." Luckily for us, Christ, in his perfection, will never change. And he is the one who strengthens us and changes us into his image. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Nothing of this world or even the spiritual realm can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. The one who made us in his image, the one who came to us as a baby, the one who was sent, who has sent his spirit to compel our hearts to believe, to change. He who is interceding for us right now at the right hand of the Father. He who will embrace us in heaven, where he is preparing a place for us. Yes, that Jesus. Let us pour out our hearts in worship and praise him for his unchanging love, for which we will never be separated. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, your love is so good. We come to you. We are comforted. And we experience a love that we don't have to qualify for. We don't have to earn. It's just freely given. You prove to us every single day that we are loved. Give us eyes to see it. I ask that you give us eyes to see how you prove your love to us every single day. Lord, because of your love that we can have confidence in, that we cannot be separated from, there's nothing that this world can throw our way, that the evil one can throw our way, that can separate us from your love. It doesn't feel like that all the time, but it's the truth. Lord, help us to stand firm in your truth that you love us. You are all powerful. You know every detail of our existence. You know every flaw. You knit us together, Lord. You made us. And you ask for us to choose you. Lord, help us to choose you. Help us to celebrate, rejoice, walk this world like we're walking on a cloud. That our light might shine, that your light might shine through us to anyone who can see, and give hope, the only true hope, to a weary world that needs it. Lord, at times we are weary. I ask for your strength. I ask that in our weariness, in our times of feeling distant from you, that you strengthen us in a special way. That you make your love so abundantly clear to us that we cannot see past it. And that we reclaim our identity and we remember who we are, your beloved children, in perfect love. And you intercede for us at the right hand of the Father and prepare a place for us at this very day. And you look forward to the day you'll welcome us home, but we know that we have work to do while we're here. Lord Jesus, we love you. And we thank you for your gift of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.